As we learned at the start of this month, green steel is going to be made right here in Newcastle, in Mayfield, the old BHP site. But could we be making more of it, not just in Newcastle, but across Australia? Tim Buckley is the director of the think tank Climate Energy Finance. Joins you on the line. Good morning to you, Tim.
Good morning, Paul.
What'd you find out?
Well, exactly as you say, Australia has, for a long time, or the world has said, green steel is too hard. It's one of those hard to abate, heavy industries. It's really difficult. The technology is difficult. And it's been that saying has been repeated so often, it's actually false. And we know that. We know Port Kembla, one of the highest emission steel plants in the world, but just down the road in Sydney, Western Sydney, there's already electric arc furnaces operating. There's one down in Victoria. BlueScope is in the middle of commissioning a new electric arc furnace in New Zealand, and they have 90%+ lower emissions than Port Kembla. So green steel does exist, and in fact, BlueScope has one of the lowest emissions electric arc furnaces in the world. Over in Ohio, America, it's a 3 million ton per annum electric arc furnace using scrap steel and using zero emissions energy. And so BlueScope's got one of the highest emissions plants in the world and one of the lowest emissions plants in the world. The question we're raising is, why does Australia get the junk when America, New Zealand, China and the rest of the world are building the low emissions green steels of the industry? And why is our safeguard mechanism actually giving BlueScope an exemption from doing anything about its ultra-high emissions plant down in Port Kembla when there are solutions and we need to actually have policy that encourages and incentivizes the solutions we need?
Okay, so talk me through that, because I'm sure that there would be the arguments to say, well, you don't want to endanger an ongoing steel operation and the jobs that it provides and the productivity that provides to the community there, not to mention Australia. But how do you change the settings to further incentivize more green steel manufacturing?
Well, we do have the safeguard mechanism. That is a mechanism brought in, or given teeth, by the Albanese government, by Climate and Energy Minister Chris Bowen 4 years ago, and it ratchets up the climate ambition by progressively lowering the threshold for companies for the major emitting facilities across Australia. The trouble is BlueScope and all the major export-exposed industries were given an exemption from that. And so I hear you about the jobs, but it was also our federal government that gave BlueScope $134 million 4 years ago to lock in one of the highest new emissions blast furnaces in the world that will operate now for the next 18, 20 years. We've got to stop subsidising the bad stuff and incentivising the good stuff. So BlueScope spent $1 billion building one of the highest emission steel plants down in Port Kembla only 3 years ago.
So given this announcement just this month from Green Steel Australia, so it's in their name, Green Steel, and what they intend to do, Green Steel Australia building this plant here in Mayfield, by them going ahead and doing this, thinking it is financially viable in the current environment, is this kind of saying, well, maybe we don't need to change anything because they're doing it anyway?
Well, we do. We have a safeguard mechanism review coming up later this year where Minister Bowen has called for submissions and recommendations for how we actually expand and strengthen the safeguard mechanism to make it more effective. But as you say, companies are thinking about investing in the solutions of the future. We've got an electric arc furnace proposal over in Collie, Western Australia, that's really advanced. We've got two or three different electric arc furnace proposals in the greater Brisbane area. There's a proposal for an electric arc furnace to replace the blast furnace down in Whyalla. And Green Steel's said that they want to build an electric arc furnace. They haven't actually announced an electric arc furnace in Wollongong. I'm sorry to say they've actually announced a rebar and coiled wire rolling mill with the hope that down the track they then might vertically integrate into an EAF. But we do have two, three, four different EAFs on the planning boards approaching final investment decision in the next 12 months. We do need greater policy ambition, and we need to have our government focus on incentivising the good stuff, not protecting the bad stuff.
Okay, and then when it comes to, I mean, competitiveness, I suppose, it's not just about what's happening in Australia, but it's also about whether we're going to export this stuff and what other countries are doing. Are we able to make competitively priced steel that the rest of the world wants to buy if we go down this road?
Well, I think maybe your ambition's a bit higher than mine on that front.
You're just saying domestic consumption for steel is the main priority, is that right?
Import replacement and domestic consumption, for domestic consumption, exactly. That we already import millions of tons of steel, high emission steel, at the moment, every year. And so these electric arc furnaces are building out domestic capacity to replace imported steel. And that, to me, is a really major aspiration in its own right. Our steel mills will never be of the world scale that China, Japan, Korea, and India build. But let's start by reducing our reliance on imports. Let's start by actually having the right policy framework to incentivize the good, low emissions steel made in Australia. And then I would probably go as far as saying we also then need to have anti-dumping laws that actually prevent dumping of high emission steel into our market. And in fact, the federal government's move to reduce dumped imports of steel, I'd argue let's put a carbon threshold in there as well. So we're happy to import low emission steel, but we're not going to subsidise the really bad stuff from the worst steel mills in the world. We've got to actually protect our domestic industry and build our domestic capacity. And to me, the holy grail on this is building capacity in the steel supply chain, because Australia is one of the two largest steel supply chain producers in the world. We produce number one exports for iron ore, number one exports for coking coal in the world by country mile. We need to start building out the capacities of our country in the steel supply chain so that we can actually then do the mega $10 billion type projects up in the Pilbara, extend Whyalla and in Midwest WA. There's huge investment opportunity, but we've got to start crawling, then walking before we start running.
Tim Buckley, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Paul.
Director of the think tank Climate Energy Finance, and you report out today into the potential for more green steel. Of course, we've already had the one announcement for Newcastle to try and do.